Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're here with a very, very special guest star to strike in the new year with, Rick McCollum from Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Welcome, Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, can't complain, and if I do, the listeners don't like it.
Oh, that's true.
So there's a lot of things we could touch base in right off the bat, but I'm just going to let you introduce yourself and talk about how you got into the paranormal and a little bit of your history and what you did before that, and of course how you met the team, and we'll kind of ring in from there.
Okay, well, I actually got interested in the paranormal when I was 13 years old. My mother and I took a train trip to Paducah, Kentucky to bury my grandfather, and when we got there, the only place that was close to the cemetery was this older hotel, and we went in. The guy goes, "I've only got one room left, and it's haunted." Now, I'm 13 years old. I mean, this is like Disneyland to me, you know. Yeah, baby, you know, haunted house. So we go in there, and it's kind of weird. It was almost like a small volleyball court. It was all wood floor, bed on one side of the wall, bed on the other side of the wall. It was probably 15 feet between the two. And we went to bed, but, you know, it was a long train trip. And in the middle of the night, I heard my mother yell. And I looked up, and I saw her bed rolling across the floor towards me. So I started to sit up, and my bed started rolling across the floor towards her. And our two beds smacked together in the middle of the room. So we just kind of looked at each other and went, wow. You know, so naturally, my curiosity was piqued. So I was trying to figure out maybe a bus went by or something, and the floor was warped because it was an old building. So what I did is I got a glass, and I set it down. I tried rolling the glass to see if it would just roll to the center. Wouldn't do it from either direction. We tried pushing the beds from the thing, and, you know, you could push it and get it to move, you know, maybe 2 feet. These both moved, you know, about almost close to 10 feet and were picking up speed as they were going. So couldn't explain it, so that got me interested in ghosts from that time on.
Really? That's actually really interesting and ironic that you said that as a teenager. I know I would have dove right into it if somebody would have told me that. I would have been like, yeah!
Yeah, that's what I was. Haunted! We're in! You know, so, yeah, that's where I got started. And then I've had so many experiences throughout my life. I mean, I happen to be one of those people, and you know what I'm talking about. Spirits seem to come to me. And, you know, I like it. You know, I think it's really cool. But for a long time there, it was, you know, kind of scary when, you know, things would pop up or you'd hear things or know things that were going on and there was nobody there. I mean, takes a little getting used to. So, but I've grown to actually just love ghost hunting. So it's how I ended up starting the group that we have, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. For those who don't know, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters are all people that make horror movies. And the three core people are myself, Kane Hodder, who plays Jason in the Friday the 13th movies, and also Victor Crowley in the Hatchet series, and just about every other vicious serial killer known to man. And R.A. Mihailov, who plays Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. So we go out ghost hunting together, and actually the tagline on our group now is, "The dark is afraid of us."
I like that, actually. That's a great way to put it. The dark is afraid of us. Well, I know you guys have went to some pretty interesting locations, obviously. And having the backgrounds that you have kind of makes it a unique situation for all three of you. You're kind of used to the scary aspect anyway, being on movie sets, doing stunts, doing characters that most people are afraid of. You know, it's got to be kind of unique going out there and being the person that may end up afraid, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Kane always says that the reason he really likes ghost hunting, he says, is, you know, it's really interesting that the guys who actually do all the killing and the scary stuff for a living go out and then actually put themselves on the other side of the equation, you know, where we can be the ones that get scared. So, you know, that's part of the deal. Of course, I can't say that I've ever seen Kane get scared at anything. we always used to say that if you run in our group, you're done. You know, we don't want to, you run away, we throw you out. That's just as simple as it is. But somebody asked me, they said, would you ever run? I said, in one condition. And they said, what's that? I said, if I saw Kane running away. And they said, what do you mean? I said, if Kane's running, I'm not even going to wait to see what's there. I'm running too. Because nothing scares that guy.
Well, part of the passion of ghost hunting, once you get into the paranormal and you start looking into things and so forth, you can always tell true people that have the passion and the hunting anyway in their nature. Because, I mean, I'm the type of guy that when everybody's running out of a house, I'll run straight in it and go, yep, it's time to go in there. Let's find out what's going on.
Well, the thing that bothers me, I'll watch TV and stuff like that, and I'll see things, you know, everybody's ghost hunting, and then they'll say, I heard a noise, and they'll leave, or they don't want to go in there. It's like, Dude, you came all this way to go ghost hunting. Now you might find what you're looking for, and you're going to leave? Come on. Get your butt in there.
But it is kind of amazing how you I've interviewed a lot of people from TV and a lot of TV stars, and I think they're great. They work hard at it. You know that. You've been behind the scenes a lot of times. It takes a lot to be an actor or even work on one of the reality shows because there's so many parts running at the same time. Plus, you gotta kind of try to make it as real as possible, or at least that's the goal, depending on the person. So they have a lot of work, but it is kind of funny how sometimes they'll run out or get scared of their own shadow on TV.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, we did an episode of Ghost Adventures, the Pico House, and I'll give those guys credit because Kane and I and RA are real careful about our integrity and our reputations. So we watched those guys like hawks to make sure that everything was above board. And I can tell you that, you know, everything that I saw was on the up and up. So I can say for those guys on that episode, you know, everything was, you know, above board and the way it should be. And Nick and I had some pretty interesting things happening while we were off by ourselves. And, you know, he didn't even flinch when some of the weird stuff was going on. So, you know, I think they're pretty much more of the real deal than people think they are.
Yeah, they get a lot of bad press, but I've had a lot of people on my show that have worked with them in the past, and I've really heard nothing but good things about the people that have been on my show talking about them. I haven't had the privilege of meeting any of them personally, though I have done some interviews with a lot of people that are associated with them. So I take a different perspective on most TV shows. I know part of it, you have to deal with the networks and you have to deal with the people to say, but you need this and but you need that. But there's a lot of good people on those shows. So,
absolutely. And I do think that a lot of times if you see something that you know, you think probably isn't right, you got to remember that there's a lot of people on a set.
Uh-huh.
You know, and if there's things that are, you hear things clanking down the thing, does not mean that the people that are in front of the camera are doing it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had an interesting conversation with Jason Hawes one time over at Ghost Hunters, and, you know, they get a lot of slack themselves because TV is TV, but himself and several people from Ghost Hunters International will tell you they tried to do things as realistic as possible, but with so many things in motion going on all over the place, and then you've got the paranormal kicking in from time to time, too. You're bound to just kind of jump and look around and wonder what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could have one of the grips, you know, the guys that carry the stuff, you know, 25 yards away, drop one of his pieces of equipment, you know, and everybody, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's there's a lot of people on a set. I mean, it's weird. Like, I did a movie called Checkpoint where I was actually getting ready to be killed on a battleship. And somebody sent me a picture from it, and I'm standing there, just me and a girl. She shoots me in the face and kills me. And just looking at it from the camera, you know, from where the guy took the picture, I mean, it looks like a football stadium. There's so many people standing around me. And there's just the two of us in the scene, you know.
Yeah, that's a good thing for listeners to actually understand. A lot of shows have a lot of working pieces that go into it, from television to movie, both. It takes a lot of efforts to do that. So always keep that in mind when you're watching. What makes good TV is is all of those processes, but it's also really tough on the actors. It can be a very fascinating thing.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you. I've seen some of the things, and you know, I've been in the movie business. I started in 1981 on a movie called Lone Wolf McQuade, and that's actually where I met Kane. I like to tell people that I was 5 and he was 3, but you know, most people don't believe that. But yeah, from your very first movie, just when you start seeing some of the stuff that you had no concept that it were that anything is like that. I mean, one of the first things that caught my eye the most was Chuck Norris was doing a big fight scene, and I was watching, and I was like, man, something's weird. And then I realized there was no sounds of anybody getting hit while they're all flying around. And I was like, oh, that's right, because they're not actually being hit. They got to put those sound effects in later, you know. So, I mean, it's you know, just some of the weird things that come across when you're on a set. It's like, wow, there's no sound. Ah, they're not hitting each other. Okay, I get it.
When you're in the paranormal, it becomes amplified sometimes because, you know, you're in creepy locations anyway. And you know you have the set and the crew behind you, and when you get a chance, you can go off on your own a little bit and get some investigation in. But you're trying to do your best to do your job, which most people don't understand, I don't think, when they watch these shows, which is why so many people get so many slacks. You're trying your best to do your job when you're out there, and you got a crew behind you. And Lord knows what you got going on upstairs and downstairs as they're preparing for the next shots.
Yeah. And the fact is that the people that are working, and they couldn't give a damn about paranormal or anything else. All they know is they're supposed to have the next scene, the next setup ready, and that's what they're doing. You know, so, you know, it's a little different than people would think. But, you know, me, when I go ghost hunting, I really like to go by myself. I mean, I've been, every year I go for like a month over to Scotland and England. And I'll go out and I'll just go into the abandoned castles by myself in the middle of the night and wander through. To me, that's like the essence of ghost hunting. There's nothing else it can be if you're the only one there.
Those are beautiful places, too. I have a lot of associates in the UK, and I have a partner, Rob Price, that's actually over there right now that's going to be doing a documentary with us. But they're fascinated with the locations here because they've never been here. But I'm totally fascinated with the UK locations. I mean, old castles and damp, deep places where you can go down into the basements and the caves and so forth. It just fascinates me. I'm looking forward to going over there sometime and doing some investigations.
Oh, well, hit me up and I'll tell you where to go in Scotland because I go there all the time and I've got a lot of friends there. Actually, one of the things I have noticed is that it seems to be when you come across a legitimate haunted place in Scotland or England, it's very haunted. I mean, it's like unmistakably haunted. You know, some places in the United States, you can get a little couple things, and you can say, well, that might be haunted. I mean, when you go to a haunted place in the UK, it's haunted. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
That's what Rob was telling me. He just went to a location, I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but he did a live video on Facebook when he was doing it, and it's amazing to watch him because he does it all virtually himself. So he's got this camera attached to him, and he just goes and walks in and goes, okay, guys, I don't know what I'm going to get here, but just listen away and look, and hopefully we'll get something. And he always manages to get something.
Yeah, I've had some of the strongest things I've ever gotten was in Scotland and England. We had a thing last time I was there. I was guests of paranormal group Premier Paranormal of Edinburgh, and we went over to Yorkshire, England, and they took me to a place called Bolton Abbey. And Bolton Abbey was made like in the 1500s, 1600s. And it has this one church where the roof is gone, but it's not like it caved in. It looks like they almost removed it. So you're out there in the middle in this big church, and there's nothing but blue sky or dark night, depending when you're in there. And the floor has been removed, and it's all grass. And, I mean, it's nice. And you can see the altar area at the other end. And while I was ghost hunting, there was another group with us and a couple other people that were there. And while we were there, this one group went up onto the altar. Now, I wasn't in favor of that because they had thrown all these people out for doing satanic worship and witchcraft rituals up on the altar. Now, if I know that somebody's been trying to contact stuff satanic, I generally leave it alone, you know, because I figure if you've opened that door, I don't want to go knock on it. You know, yeah. So that's just the way I look at it. But me and these other two guys who were bouncers from Liverpool were ghost hunting. We went around the corner and we heard all this noise. And when we came back, there were six people that were standing up on the altar. Two were still standing. Four of them were on the ground. Three were on their knees, and one guy was totally knocked out, laying on his back. So I asked each one of them. I got them before they could get together and make a story. And every one of them said they saw what they thought was a goat's head with no eyes come flying right at them, and that's why they all hit the deck. And the last guy, they said they turned around and looked at him, and he looked like he was on roller skates and just went splat right on his back, and that was it for him. And I asked him what happened. He goes, I have no idea. He says, all I know is that you were slapping me in the face when I woke up. So, I mean, it's that's about as intense of a thing you can ever come across when you see people scrambling, you know, on their hands and knees to get to a guy who's knocked out. Uh-huh. I mean, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that's incredibly intense. And I've had the privilege of tagging along with a lot of investigators. I mean, I don't know if you know much about me, but I don't claim to be an investigator myself, but I spent 20 years tagging along with investigators to tell their stories because I'm fascinated with the paranormal. I think it takes a lot to learn how to do what every one of you go out there and do. And I want to learn more. So I just kind of sit in the background. I know the equipment now. I know everything because I've had a chance to spend so much time with everybody. But I don't have a team myself. We're putting one together for our documentary to tell the story of paranormal investigators. But it's very interesting to tag along with teams and spend time with you and understand how hard it is to do your jobs. If that makes sense.
Well, you know, there's a big correlation between the movie business, you know, doing stunt work and ghost hunting, because they're both a lot alike. When you're doing stunts, you sit around all day long until it's your turn to have, like, frantic activity all of a sudden. Uh-huh. And it's the same with ghost hunting. You'll sit there and you'll sit there and you'll sit there and you'll be trying to get something. You're about ready to fall asleep, and all of a sudden, kapow, stuff is there. You know, so there's a big correlation. They're very similar between the two.
Yeah, because you spend literally, you can go out to an investigation and spend hours getting absolutely nothing for that one or two moments. But you prepare yourself, you set up the equipment, you work your butt off to do it, and then the next moment, it could be all action-packed.
Yeah, exactly, from out of nowhere, pow.
Yep.
But, you know, I just to be honest, and I mean anybody that's an honest investigator will tell you, I've been to more places where nothing happened than where something happened.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. I can fully agree with that. And that's a part of the job. It can be a long, very boring process doing that, too. It's fun in the same time because you're doing what you enjoy doing. But I think a lot of people, when they watch the shows, they just jump straight into, well, this is really cool. This is what you do. But they don't understand that while you're in the field, you have hours of sitting there sometimes. And then you got to come home and you got to review all of that evidence to see if you got one thing. And sometimes the stuff you thought you got, you're going, man, that wasn't what I thought.
Well, you know what's funny? I did a thing at the Houdini House. You know, we had a – out here in L.A., they have a place they call the Houdini House. And when I was going back over the – you know, for EVPs, I was going over the tape. I heard my guy say, I'm going to get a bass reading, and then right into the microphone. And I was sitting – about 8 feet away from the voice recorder, and my other guy was walking into a bathroom, so neither one of us were even remotely close to the voice recorder. And you could hear very clearly when he goes, I'm going to get a bass reading, you hear no. I mean,
wow.
Right into the recorder. So the weird thing was, when I was over at Roslyn Castle over in Scotland, about 2 in the morning, I'm out there with a group of some other people. We're just looking around, and they said, you ever get any EVPs? And I said, well, listen to this one. And I played it for these guys, and the guy goes, wow, that's amazing. I said, yeah, the no. And he goes, no, what it says right before that. And I was like, huh? Right? He goes, yeah, it says something right before that. I said, do you know what it said? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, let me listen again. So I kept listening, and then I started to hear something, right? And I kind of had an idea what it was saying. So finally I asked him what he thought it said. He goes, well, I know what it says. He says, it says, get back here, punk. Right? And then it goes, no. So I could kind of hear it, but not loud enough. So when I got back, I listened to it on my computer, and sure enough, you can hear the, you know, get back here, punk. And then, no. But, I mean, even after going through the evidence, you know, I hadn't had it turned up through the computer. I was listening to the recorder. I missed something. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of cool. And this guy just caught it like this, I mean, instantly. So that was kind of cool. It's one of the best EVPs I have. And if I hadn't played it for him, I would have missed out on the other interesting part.
That's a good catch, though. That's a rare catch, as I'm sure you know from doing EVP. When you can get something that's clear, you're like, yes!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Do you know of the Pioneer Saloon outside Vegas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I went there, and I was invited up there for a ghost hunt. And I went in, and it was part of their nightly ghost hunt deal, right? Because they have little ghost hunts for people. So I was just, you know, a guest, so I always had my equipment, and the other people had, you know, K2 meters and stuff like that. So they tell us the story of how Clark Gable sat there while Carol Lombard's body was being taken off the mountain from the plane crash, and the one guy that was shot because he was cheating at cards, and on the other side, the bartender lady that they went over to get a drink and found her strangled to death laying on the floor. So, I mean, it's got some history to this place. And we go in there, and we're sitting there, and I put my K2 meter down in front of me, and I'm sitting in the chair where the guy was murdered. And the girl sitting next to me, because the two tables were both circular, she had nothing in front of her. She was in the little alcove part, so she put her K2 meter next to mine. And there were REM pods, and there was other stuff set up around the table. Well, we're sitting there, and the girl's telling us what happened, and none of the stuff goes off except for the two directly in front of me. And the two K2 meters are going all 10 lights. And they go for like 10 or 15 seconds, and everybody's watching. And I'm being quiet. I'm still listening to the girl. And maybe a minute later, I hear, Rick. I mean, with my ears. And I look around, and I'm like, did you guys hear that? And they went, yeah. And I was like, okay. So right after that, the two K2 meters go off, all 10 lights again. And instantly, I'd never felt this, I felt as sick as I've ever been. I thought that I was going to throw up on the table instantly. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was on fire. I mean, I was so sick, I couldn't believe it. And instantly, I was fine, and then boom. And the girl says, now this is all on tape, it's on video and audio. The girl, you hear her say on the tape, she goes, wow, the spirits must really like you. And I looked over and I said, I'm not so sure they do, right? Because no, I'm dying over here, right? And she goes, really? And then you hear on the EVP, we do. A girl's voice say, we do. And she's, you know, when I said, I don't think they do, she said, we do. And then you hear Rick again with our ears and on the EVP. Well, the girl looks at me, she goes, what's wrong? And I said, touch my forehead. Now, I figured she's going to say, I'm on fire. And she goes, oh, my God, you're like a block of ice, right? So the girl next to me puts her hand on my arm. She goes, you are, you're as cold as, oh, my God. I mean, they're freaking out. So I said, guys, I'm going outside. I'm too sick. So when I do come back in, instantly, bam, again. So I tell them, I said, guys, it's been nice, but I'm sick. I said, I'm going to get out of here. And on the, I turn around to leave, and on the EVP you hear, turn Rick back. So I stop, and I turn back, and I said, it was nice meeting you guys. And I turn around, and you hear a man's voice say, release him.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty interesting. You know, that's something was going on there.
Yeah, it sounds like one of them liked you a little bit too much, so to speak.
Yeah, something was going on.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, you mentioned that it's kind of unusual how sometimes that'll happen. You can go into a location and for some reason something will attach itself to you. Out of the 5, 10, however many spirits are there, that one will attach itself to you. And a lot of times it causes a negative effect. I'm not sure whether it's intentional or it's just so much energy or whatever you would say that that just kind of builds itself up around you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly
but
does.
It's a disturbing thing. I had it happen to me at a location, actually in Kentucky, that I wasn't expecting. It's a small kind of farmstead area that has been known to have a witch that passed away there. She was murdered there and so forth. And they moved the location and rebuilt the cabins, but we had the privilege of going to the original location, which there's virtually nothing on anymore. But I remember standing there, and for about 10 minutes or so, I got really sick, and I had to tell them, hey, guys, I've got to leave. I can't be here. I never got a chance to listen to the EVPs to know if anything communicated, but it's an experience that you kind of leave going in awe, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you ever see, I mean, like, you'll see on TV people say, I'm getting sick, something's trying to attach me and stuff. Usually I just sit there and go, yeah, right, whatever, blah, blah, you know. And then when it happened to me and it was so intense, I was like, okay, now I get it. But, you know, when that happened, I have a very suspicious mind about things, right? And the thing that where I heard the Rick twice with my own ears, one of the guys who was there was a magician, and he claimed to be a skeptic. So I asked the girl, I asked Jill, I said, Jill, is that guy a ventriloquist by any chance? She goes, no. And I said, no, I just trying to debunk where I heard those things. She goes, well, we all heard it. And I said, yeah, but I was just trying to see if anybody was doing it. And she goes, well, I can debunk that for you. And I said, okay, how can you do that? She goes, the next two nights when we had the investigations, they called your name two more times each night.
Wow.
So something there took a major liking to me. I've been back there since, and nothing happened. So, it's just one of those weird things.
Well, that's another strange, unusual thing about the paranormal, that you can do that. You can walk into a situation where you can investigate dozens of times and nothing happened, and then go in there one time and something just slammed the crap out of the area you're in. I had that happen with Waverly. I've been there 7 times now, and I've only had one time where it was active. But the one time I went in there, it was incredibly active for some reason in the rooms we were in, which just astounded me, because the first 6 times it was like, yeah, there's nothing here.
Yeah, I was like that with Linda Vista Hospital. And then one time, boom, all kinds of stuff was happening. It's kind of strange. I actually have a theory that, you're never going to interact with the paranormal unless it wants to interact with you. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, it may want to run you off. It may want to, communicate in a good way with you. But unless it wants to be seen or felt or something, I don't think you're going to see it or feel it. So.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, these things don't come on command, so to speak. So they kind of come to you when they feel like it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've actually ghost hunted a strip club, believe it or not, one that was open and working in Las Vegas, called the Palomino Strip Club, which is like world famous place. And I get out there and I'm looking around. The guy goes, yeah. He says, we got to do it while it's open. And well, first off, I found out something about myself is, number one, I'm very, very easily distracted. I'm standing there in a strip club. I'm like, are you going to ghost hunt? Huh? What? Huh? Oh, yeah, right. They actually had an old dressing room that they wouldn't use anymore. So I went in there and I closed the doors, and it was quiet enough that I could put my equipment up. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I got that feeling something was near me. So I started asking questions, and I said, all right, I know you're close to me. Light up the K2 meter. And it went up to 2. I said, come on, let's get closer. And it went up higher. And I said, okay, I know you're here. What's your name? Is somebody here with me? Right? And you hear a little girl's voice go, it's me. So that kind of threw me off a little bit, it being a little girl's voice, because a lot of people believe that, demonic entities can mimic children to try and draw in. Anyway, I called up the guy that owns the Palomino after I heard this when I got home, and I said, why did you guys stop using, the dressing room? And he goes, the girls kept seeing a little girl walk through.
Huh.
And I said, well, let me play something for you. And I played it for him, and he's like, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I said, yeah, I think she's probably still there.
That's interesting. I mean, that would be a good feeding ground. I hate to say that, but it would be a good feeding ground. Being an active strip joint, you're going to catch all kinds of different people there. So, you know, why not have something that's not normally a ghost be there? I know I spent a lot of time researching the demonic and spent a lot of time with people that have looked into the demonic because unlike a lot of people that get scared from it, I have a lot of faith, so I don't really scare away from much, to be honest with you. But it is unique that you mentioned that, though they can, to the understanding in the study, take childlike forms. It's very unusual to run across one, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I try and tell people about – I have actually had an encounter with a demon. There's just no two ways of describing it other than it being that. And I tell people that, and I said, do you believe in demons? They go, of course not. And I go, do you believe in angels? Oh, sure. They go, you realize it's the same story. You know, and then they're like, oh, you know. So, you know, sometimes it takes a little awakening for some people to start paying attention.
Yeah, you can't really believe in one without the other. You know, I mean, they're all intertwined. And
yeah, it's the
and
same
it is,
story.
And it is something it's a different experience if you've never experienced a demonic entity. I've had the not privilege, I guess you could say, of experiencing one myself, and it's not a fun task.
No, I actually scared the living bejesus out of me, but I stood my ground, and that seemed to make the difference. But I mean, I was terrified, and I don't terrify easy.
That was my first experience in the paranormal that drug me down my path, and this show's all about you, so I won't get into a lot of detail about that, but I lived in a very active, very haunted home, and eventually it turned very, very bad for a long period in time until I stood my ground. But it's something when you experience a true evil or demonic entity that you can't really explain. There's just no words to explain it.
Yeah, it's scary. You know, and fortunately, I sound like you and I might be quite a bit alike. I know that I have protection because it has saved my life before. Undoubtedly, without question, something saved my life. So I know that, I don't know if you call them guardian angels or, you know, whatever it is. But I know that actually with what I do, mine works overtime. I feel bad for the guy, you know. but I know that they're out there. And if I know that he's around, that means they're around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And we are a lot alike that way. I know I'm protected. I have 100% faith in that when I walk into any location. Now, I know when to back off because these things will scare the crap out of you. But I'm not worried about it harming me. If that makes sense. I know that I'm protected, so I have no problem standing my ground and saying, look, go away.
Yeah, beat it.
Yep.
Beat it. You know, for a long time I had real dark shadows that would just, you know, fly right through my apartment. I mean, like, and I probably saw a couple dozen of these over a month. And it was like on the same line. You know what I mean? It was almost like it was a subway line or something going by. Uh-huh. And after I saw this thing, it was in my apartment where I saw this thing that was undoubtedly something I didn't want to see. I started seeing, now I don't know if you've ever even heard of this, white shadows. I'd see white flickering out of the corner of my eye and I'd see it go by. And I started wondering to myself, okay, let's just assume the black shadows, seeing as it was the same time this other thing showed up, are from that side. I wonder if the white shadows are the good guys. Well, there was two twin girls that came over to my apartment one night to use my spirit box because their father had passed away a couple of years before and they were obsessed with trying to talk to him. So, you know, I turned it on and they had two little tablets and they were writing all the things down. Now, you know spirit boxes, they say one word every 3 minutes, you know, and it might be lint or macaroni and mean nothing. But, I mean, this thing started chattering, and they were just writing nonstop for like 45 minutes. I was in the other room. So finally I came out, and I sat down. I said, girls, what are you trying to accomplish? And the one daughter says, well, we want to talk to our dad, right? And the machine goes, father. So I look over at them. They write it down. I'm like, that didn't register. You just said you want to talk to your dad. It says father, right? And then it goes, brown, right? And they write that down. And I said, girls. And I stopped the thing and I played it back. I said, listen to this. And it says Father Brown. They both start squealing because their father's name was Brown. I mean, how much more specific can you get? We want to talk to our dad, Father Brown. You know, it's just like, which was really cool. But I said to him, I said, all right, as long as something seems to be here, what are these white shadows? And it's you know how they'll usually say one word at a time? Uh-huh. It was very, very strange because it said, scent protection. And, I mean, that just sent chills up and down my spine. Right, because that was kind of what I was thinking, but I thought that would be too good to hope for. And the one girl goes, well, are you good or are you bad? And it goes, loving. And I was like, ah, the good guys are here. So after that, I saw the shape one more time, and I just went ballistic. I said, get out of here. Don't you ever come back, you know. And it never has. But knowing that, there might have been other people there to help me, because I'm sure that there would be other people to help him. I think, turn the tide there, and finally it just finally said, all right, I'm out of here. Because I haven't seen it again. I haven't seen the white shadows, the dark shadows. I haven't seen it. And it's been a couple of years. So,
you know, it's ironic that you actually say that. I've experienced the same situation with the dark shadows running through the home, and you see these white glares, you're going, And I eventually started telling people, and it almost sounds nuts when you say it, but I tell everybody the same thing. There is a battle going on that most people can't see or even comprehend. And on both sides, that battle continues. Every now and then, people like yourself, like myself and a few other people, we get caught in the middle for a short period in time, and we get to see those little glimpses of what's really going on.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty scary. But, hey, I'm here. I've chosen my side. So, if we got to get to it, let's get to it. You know, that's the way I look at it. Give me my sword. I'm in.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I took it after many, many years of dealing with the paranormal. It's one of those things, hey, look, this is some people call it an unfortunate gift. Some people call it a gift in itself. This is my task. So I present it in my own little way. And, hey, you know what? If I'm called upon to do something, then so be it. That's just what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I look at it. I mean, but, I have had so many things. I've been doing this for 40 years. And, I've been doing this for, decades before there was ever a TV show. When you used to tell people that you would ghost hunt, everybody would roll their eyes at you. Half of them would stop talking to you because they thought you were insane. Nowadays, if you say you're a ghost hunter, everybody has a story.
Yep.
So now it's mainstream and it's very accepted, so it's a lot easier to tell people your stories, but I mean, even some of the things that have happened to me and I relay them, it sounds, bogus. Like the thing with the goat's head. I still can't wrap my head around that. I didn't actually see it. All I saw was people on the ground, But I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, I have no explanation for that at all,
A lot of these situations, personal experiences, I was talking about it several times on the show. Personal experiences are a key part of being a paranormal investigator. There's a lot of things you can't explain. I mean, granted, there is some science behind it. There's a lot of things you can debunk and so forth. But it ultimately narrows down to those few experiences where you can explain it. And hopefully you catch something.
I was in the Southbridge Vaults in Edinburgh. And underground, right? No lights on except for, little safety lights on the side that were red, right? Which, better in the dark, these little red lights. And they had a woman that they always said was down at this one end. So I had my camera, and I said, okay, they say you're down here. I'm going to take some pictures. If you're here, show yourself. So I go click, click, and I look back at the thing. The first one, there's nothing there. And the second one, right in the spot, there is what I would say an energy field, a white energy field, up and down, vertical, almost human type, no arms or legs, just about the same size a human being would be, in the exact same spot. So I was like, wow, now that's something. So I said, all right, come closer. And I clicked the two more pictures, and the same thing was about 10 feet in front of me, and it was like probably 40 or 50 feet farther down. So whatever it was had actually moved up. And there was another one. The last one was what looked like a cylinder, but it was light, flying straight across in front of me on an angle. You know, so wow. It was almost looked like a meteor, you know, how you got something and then like that. And I would show it to people, and they go, well, it's just a reflection. It's a reflection of what? Right? It's light. It's underground. There's no light. There's no reflections. It's underground. I didn't use a flash. You know,
well, that's an amazing thing to actually talk about that I've brought up several times. Now, an average photograph or an average video, when you present it, it can be debunked a lot of times because digital cameras and cameras do have flashes and lights and so forth. But orbs and energy or whatever you want to discuss it are a part of the paranormal, too. You can be in a totally dark area. You can shut the lights off and still see something that's a bright light that'll zoom by you.
Yeah.
That's something I think people don't understand. They concentrate a lot on the debunking, and that's great. Don't get me wrong. I've debunked a lot of things myself over Facebook and a lot of images that were sent to me. But, you know, you have to understand that these things still happen.
Yeah. No, I've actually seen in my time two orbs that couldn't be anything but, you know, something that was out of the ordinary, let's put it that way. We were at the old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee, and I had put my camera down this one hallway and opened up the side view, which has a little bit of a light blue light to it, and we were all standing around, you know, taking a break, and we looked down the way, and I see what looks like probably the light from my camera going up and down. I'm like, who's down there messing with the camera, right? So everybody comes over and they said, no, we're all here. So we're looking at it, and it's moving up and down and side to side. And I said, it's moving. And Kane goes, well, I think, you know, this is a suggestion, right? We're having mass hysteria. I said, okay. Everybody, as soon as you see it move, holler out which direction it's going, right? Uh-huh. So we do that, right? As soon as it starts to move, you know, people are yelling, left, up, down, and it's and everybody's saying the exact same thing. So we're all watching something, right? We're not saying it's going left, and everybody goes yes. You know, everybody was yelling the same thing at the same time. So we went down there. It finally, I went over and I was like, I'm looking and nobody's filming this, and it had gone on for probably a minute and a half. And there's like 10 of us because we were there with another group. Nobody's filming it. So I reach over to grab my other camera, and I turn around, and it's gone, of course. The other half of ghost hunting. But anyway, we go down there. I turn the camera, you know, on, run it back. Camera never moved, right? So it had to be something else. And it was like a pale blue light. And one of the weird things was when it went down, there's tile, you know, on the floor because it used to be a hospital, that when it went down, it cast a light on the floor, you know, like when you see the moon on the ocean, the reflection, that's what it looked like. So there was a light source down there. And as we were walking back, it was very strange because the guy goes, hey, dude, that couldn't have been your camera. I said, why not? He goes, look. So it was in the dark. We turned around, and there was one of those black dumpsters, the plastic ones, in the hallway. And he goes, from where you're at, you wouldn't have been able to see your camera. It's behind that. And I said, you're right. And he says, that means that whatever we were looking at had to be in front of that. I said, you're right. So as we're walking back, the other group had a camera on the ground, and I see the camera jerk to the right, go boom, I mean real hard. And I looked over at the other group. I said, hey, guys, your camera just moved. And they went, no. And I said, it just went to the right. And the guy goes, no. And they walked down, and the guy goes, hey, this thing's way to the right. And I said, dude, I just told you I saw it move. Right? Come on. I told you it got moved to the right. It's to the right. And then you go, oh, wow, surprise. Come on. But, I mean, there was a ball of light that we all saw a minute, minute and a half. You know, we were all calling out which direction it was going. You know, it wasn't dust. It wasn't a reflection. You know, it was a ball of light, and it's, you know, the only thing I could say, the only thing you could call is an orb, you know. So they do exist. 99.9% of everything you see in a picture isn't an orb. Uh-huh. You know, it's actually a reflection of dust, but...
Well, that's why I try to enthuse a lot of times to early investigators and people that post up a lot of that stuff. Guys, when you're posting up an image can be debunked, because when you're looking at something on Facebook or you're looking at something on a website or so forth, these things, the only thing we can do from an external standpoint is debunk those. We can't go, oh, yes, it's a ghost, because, well, that's not logically speaking. We can only give you the logical terms for you to make a determination yourself. If you present a bunch of evidence, you know, physical people that have stated, I saw it, this is what happened, EVP and audio to go with it, you've got a videotape and you've got a picture, you're explaining all of this together and talking about the situation, maybe I can get a fuller picture, but I'm not in your shoes.
And one thing I never do, I get all kinds of calls from people, all kinds of Facebook things, which I love. You know, I love talking about this stuff. And they'll ask me this and stuff, and they'll tell me some of the most outlandish stories you've ever heard. And I'll tell them, they say, do you believe my story? I said, it's haven't heard anything quite like that. I said, but do I believe it or not believe it? I said, that's not for me to judge. I wasn't there. I said, yep. I never judge anybody what they say what that happened, because I've had weird things happen to me and nobody would believe it. So there's no reason for me not to believe that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the standpoint that I take a lot of times, too. I mean, the paranormal is such a unique field, and some people just want to believe, so they concentrate so hard on doing it, and some people have unique stories. It's attached to a lot of different things. Without me being present, I can't tell you didn't experience that. That it's not my place.
That's what I mean. I will never poo-poo somebody's story. I wasn't there. You know, a spirit might have picked you up in a headlock and, you know, choked you out. I don't know. I wasn't there. You know, just because it's never happened to me doesn't mean it didn't happen to you.
And being from somebody that had a personal experience, I still today have a lot of doubters, when I explain my experience, I know what happened to me. I have plenty of eyewitnesses that refused to go into my home that I owned. I had plenty of people that witnessed things on their own in that home. I had investigators come in and run scared a few times. I know what happened to me, but when I explain that story to people, I still get a lot of skeptics.
Well, I'd like to hear it.
I'll share it with you sometime. Like I said, the show's more about you, and we've got about an hour, and we've been talking so much that we're probably almost close to the end of that, my producer usually tells me. But I'll be glad to share it with you anytime, Rick. You'll be fascinated by the story when you hear it, because up until recently, probably about 5 years ago, I never shared it with anybody.
Those are usually the best ones, the ones you keep to yourself.
It was a personal search when I started it a lot of times, and when I first shared it with people, I got a lot of odd looks, because, you know, it's over 20 years ago now, so you start sharing this with people, and like you said, when you did this 40 years ago, you start talking about this stuff, and they just run scared. They kind of look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, one thing that I've noticed with me is that is a little different from other people. And I'm not saying this is a superpower or anything else like that. I'm not a self-aggrandizing person. I'm just saying what seems to happen with me. I seem to be able to feel the energy. Not always. I mean, I've been totally surprised a couple of times, but I'll give you, for instance, we were out in the middle of a field at this abandoned place called Hale's Castle in Scotland. And there's me and two other investigators. And we're walking in. And just as we start to go up, now this whole thing is surrounded by nothing but fields, right? I stopped and I'm standing there looking out into the field. And it's, you know, 1 in the morning. It's totally dark. There's no ambient light to speak of. And the girl goes, "What are you looking at?" I said, "Something out there." She goes, "I don't see anything. You know, there was some moonlight. You could see stuff, you know." She goes, "I don't see anything." I said, "I'm telling you, there's something out there." So the guy that was with us, he walks down to the fence. He looks around. He goes, "Nothing down there." So we went on through the hunt through the rest of the night. Every time I started to walk past this one door, I would stop and stare out at the same place. And they were looking at me like, starting to get a, like, you know, there's something wrong with me. And at the end of the night when we're leaving, I'm standing there, and the guy goes, "You really think there's something out there, don't you?" I said, "There is something out there." And the guy goes, "Where?" And I pointed. I said, "Right there." Right? And right when I did that, what looked like an antique lantern lit up right in the spot I was pointing at in the middle of the field.
Wow.
Went like about 10 feet and went out. And both of them turned around. I mean, their jaws were hanging looking at me, and they're like, "How did you know that was there?" I said, "Don't know. I just knew it was there. Kept telling you it was over there. You wouldn't listen."
Well, you know, I hate to say this. I've had a lot of experiences like that, too. I mean, every now and then you can't just feel these things. You know they're there. You can point right at them, and other people may not see them at the time, but it's like, I know there's something right over there.
Yeah, that's the same way I am. I'm like, it's over there. I can feel it, you know. I try and explain something to people, and I think once I explain it to them, it helps them. I say, if you ever gone somewhere and all of a sudden you had that feeling of danger, you have the hair on the back of your neck, they say, and stuff like that, and they go, "Yeah." And I said, "It's a lot like ghost hunting, but not with the danger part." I said, "What you have to understand is through human evolution, there were times when not only are we the predator, but we're also the prey. And we have built-in evolutionary things that made us more aware of our surroundings, and like when things were staring at us in the dark that might kill us and eat us, right? So we have this actual triggering mechanism that will tell us when danger's around, but because we've become so advanced and people actually don't take the phone off their head, that nobody notices anymore. So it's just like I tell people, I said, if you ever feel like something's wrong, there probably is. Stop, look around, you know, around your circle, you know, whatever's around you, and make sure you're okay, because generally when your little system starts going off, there's a reason.
Oh, yeah, natural instinct, human instinct. A lot of people don't take much into account on it, but human instinct will kick in almost immediately when you feel that there's a danger, and you don't even know it a lot of times. It's just ultimately you just feel something's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And most people now, because of, like I said, we've evolved so much, they absolutely discount it. And it's the worst thing you can do. You should pay attention to it. You know, it's somebody, something is trying to tell you something. You should, you know, at least answer the phone and see who it is, you know.
Well, our show's actually, believe it or not, flew massively by, and I know we're down to probably our last 5 minutes here, Rick. So let's talk about where the listeners can find you and the team, a little bit about what you're planning on doing. And by the way, you're always welcome to come back, because this has been an amazing conversation. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I'd love to have you on again. But let's talk about where they can find you and what you guys are planning on doing here in the next year, and let the listeners kind of figure out where you're located.
Okay, well, you know, we're all in Hollywood. That's, you know, we're in the film business, so we've got to be around this area. You can find us on the web at HollywoodGhostHunters.com. And if you go into the evidence section, look at Hallway 1 and 2. That's the Omen House. And I'll guarantee if you look at there, that the first thing you're going to say is you're going to go, "What?" Right? For both of them. I mean, it's just like, what was that? Right.
But
the other one is, a lot of people don't realize, is we have our own magazine online. It's called Hollywood Ghost Hunters Magazine. The address is hghmag.com, which stands for Hollywood Ghost Hunter Magazine. So hghmag.com. I mean, the first one we interviewed Zach Bagans, and there's a bunch of inside stories and things of where I was at and what Kane and R.A. and I are doing, you know. Like, you know, we just finished the Friday the 13th video game. You know, Kane and I did that. Things like that. But Hollywood Ghost Hunter Magazine's got, you know, I interviewed Aaron Ryder, Nick Groff, George Norrie from Coast to Coast. I interviewed him. So, I mean, there's some interesting reads. There's some fun things in there. And it's free. So if you don't like it, you don't get your money back.
It's ironic that you mentioned the Omen House. I'm going to be going up there hopefully here next year, or if not in 2019. I absolutely love David. I've been a friend of his for almost 2 years now. We met over Facebook, and I've heard, you know, just the craziest things about that house.
Well, you know what David will tell you about us? He goes, everybody comes up here with, you know, $50,000 worth of equipment. And Rick and a couple of his friends will come up here with little Sony cameras and catch more than they ever will. You know.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to come up with a little video camera and have him show me around and go up there with a couple other friends of his and just see what happens. I've heard.
Well, I'm going to give you a hot tip. Go to Hollywood Ghost online and look under evidence in hallway 1 and hallway 2. That's David Omen's hallway. If you put a camera down on the floor and leave that, you know, and come back and check your stuff, I'd be almost willing to bet you'll have caught something. That hallway is freakily haunted.
I'm going to have to do that. I know David's learned to live with them, and he's an amazing man. I've had him on the show before, and I talk to him every now and then. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm just astounded.
Me and David are friends, but we've had some battles. we've had some battles. He got really mad. He said, well, you know, Zach Bagan said that I bring this stuff on. I said, I've been telling you that for years. And he goes, well, yeah. I said, it's not like you bring it on, but you welcome it. And he goes, how do you mean? I said, when I was there, you were walking down the hallway talking to the spirits. You don't think that's welcoming?
He's a very passionate man, so he takes everything to heart sometimes. But but he's fun. He's a fun guy.
Yeah, no, he's my buddy. He'll call me up every once in a while. You know, what are you doing? I'm just sitting here. What are you doing? You know.
Well, listeners, you've been listening
I like David. Like I say, I like David. He's always been pretty cool to us.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a wonderful person. Listeners, you've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. You've been listening to a Hollywood Ghost Hunter, which you can find at HGH.com and HollywoodGhostHunters.com. Rick McCallum. I hope I pronounced that right, Rick. I'm lousy with pronunciation. Make sure that you tune in to him next week. We're going to have Spirit Chick on if everything works right. She's fairly new to the paranormal. She's been investigating for quite a while, but she just started a YouTube channel. It's going to be a very unique perspective. I encourage everybody to listen to it. Wonderful gal. You'll love her. Rick, do you have anything you want to say in closing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a good time.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and you're always welcome to come back on when you look at your schedule and talk about your experiences. I absolutely enjoyed the show. We'll actually end the show as I do every single week. Remember, as you learned today, in the paranormal, truth should always be that reality. You're going to learn a lot of things when you listen to investigators. Whether they're famous or whether they're not, a lot of them will have the same stories. I encourage you to listen to that because that's what it's all about. I know you see bits and pieces of that, listeners, when you're on television all the time. But the truth is, you never know the experiences until you either get out and join them or listen to what they have to say. This has been Paranormal Truth and Reality. Again, I'm your host, Christopher Houston. Rick, thank you very much for coming on, and we encourage you to come back on. We'll talk to you next week. And as one last note, enjoy your New Year's Eve, drive safe, and be happy. We'll talk to you soon.